news, and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson. Thanks for taking the time to join us this week. And with the school year, of course, kicking off across the country over the past couple of weeks, that means a lot of brand new chapter officers are taking over. So let's meet a few of them now. The officer team for the Walker FFA in Walker, Louisiana.
We're with our chapter president, Marion Hebert. We're going to ask her some questions. What are some goals you have for this year?
For this year, I definitely want to see all the new members grow, and I want to see all the new members come in and see all the opportunities that the FFA has. And I just want to advocate for the FFA, the chapter, as much as I can.
What do you look forward to for this year?
I mostly look forward to just seeing all the younger members grow, because it's my senior year, so it's my last year, and I just want to inspire them to do more in the chapter.
Chapter Secretary Mackenzie Becknell, what are you looking forward to for this year?
I'm looking forward to see our chapter bond with each other and help them find their true passion for their life.
So what are some goals you have?
My goal is that our team stays together and works hard throughout the year.
We're with Madison Morales, our chapter vice president. So Madison, what are some goals you have for this year?
Some goals I have for the year are to grow personally. I want to see myself grow. I want to get better at speaking in front of large groups. I want to get better at doing my job, staying committed, and I want to see the chapter grow.
What do you look forward to for this year?
I look forward to meeting new members. I want to see some freshmen getting involved, and I want to grow some bonds with some freshmen, and not even freshmen, just the new incoming Ag 1 students, and I want to grow a closer bond with my teammates.
We're with our chapter treasurer, Caitlin Lacey. Caitlin, what are some goals you have for this year?
One of my main goals for this year is to just recruit new members, looking at the loss that we had last year.
And what are you looking forward to this year?
This year, I'm mostly looking forward to meeting all the new people and getting extremely active with everyone.
We're here with our chapter reporter, Ashley Hudspeth. What's one goal you have this year serving as the reporter?
I just want to get the community active and let them know what we're doing in our chapter and keep them updated, and also get the members where they know what our chapter is doing.
All right, and what's something that you look forward to this year?
Something I look forward to is being an officer, because this is my first year, it's my sophomore year, and I just want to grow as a member, officer, and a person.
Okay, so we're with our chapter sentinel. So what are you looking forward to this year?
To have a great year with my team and my chapter, and to make everything go smooth, have great events, have a great CDE teams, and win some competitions.
What are your goals?
My goals are to gain leadership skills, to be a good leader, build better bonds with my peers.
We're with our chapter parliamentarian, Jace Martello. So Jace, what are some goals you have for this year?
To get more younger people in FFA.
What do you look forward to for this year?
That we have a successful year, and the FFA team stays together and works hard.
Okay, thank you.
Well, congratulations to those members, and good luck to them and their chapter in the year ahead. Well, stay tuned. We'll meet a member in the Show Me State who isn't taking no for an answer when it comes to selling her chickens. Hear how next, right here on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.
FFA has meant to me, it has been a big part of my life this year, and it has taught me so many great leadership skills and just so many things that you would not expect to come out of this organization, but it has really helped me and helped grow me as a person.
If I were to talk to a younger student about FFA, I would tell them that it is not just about farming, and that they can do many, many other things in it, and that they would have a great advisor for it.
My most memorable moment was whenever we stepped into the holding room for our competition and we saw all the different states, and we decided that we wanted to go and meet other people. So not only has this organization brought me new friends in our county or our school or our state, it has brought me nationwide friends. It has definitely given me many leadership skills. I've gained so much confidence, and it's just been a really good experience for me.
Welcome back to the show. And now we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Reckwald. He introduces us to Anne Marie Stone from Centralia, Missouri, whose confidence and positive attitude have made her chicken operation a big success.
Joining me today is Anna Marie Stone, and she is coming to us from Centralia High School in Centralia, Missouri, where she's serving as a chapter officer this year. Anna Marie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for letting me.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Now, how long have you been part of the FFA?
Well, see, my dad's my advisor, so I've been part of the FFA for all my life. So at our school, we have a junior FFA, so I was able to start that in sixth grade. And then I've been an ag class officially for 1 year, and then I'm taking another one this year.
Oh, wow. So your junior FFA program, you get to start really early. Sixth grade is about as early as I've ever heard.
Yeah, so we at our school, we don't have like a class, but we have like, it's like a pass, and it's for like 30 minutes maybe. And we have some of our chapter officers go over and they play games with the little kids and just try to get them familiar with what they'll be doing in an ag class.
Okay, interesting. Well, now you say you've been in the FFA your whole life because your dad's your advisor. Now, do you say that lovingly or do you say that like, it's been FFA every day that I can remember?
No, I definitely say that lovingly. I'm not very good at sports, and I don't get very much playing time. And FFA has definitely been a place where I can fit in. And at our school, we don't have very many country kids. Uh-huh. And FFA is definitely where I feel like I fit in the most, and I'm able to talk about the stuff that I enjoy talking about and not talking about who's going to be the point guard for the upcoming year.
You know, that's interesting to hear you say that. Well, you mentioned being a chapter officer. I understand that you've just been selected to be a chapter officer. Will this be your first time coming up?
Yes, this will be my first time ever being a chapter officer.
Okay. Now, we were talking off the air. Centralia does it kind of uniquely, more unique fashion than I've ever heard of before. Would you mind explaining to everybody how your officer team works and how you share responsibilities?
Sure. So our officer team is considered, we are called an elective committee. We have 14 officers, and our officers don't have titles. They're just part of a team, and we do it so that every officer can get the chance to experience what one officer would be in the 4 years, and we get to experience in 1 year.
So you get to take a turn at every job and every form of leadership then?
Correct.
Well, now, let's talk about what life is like away from school for you. So are you on a farm or in town, or you know, how does life look like for you when you're not at school?
Okay, so I live on a very small, diversified livestock operation where, I have a GMO-free organic broiler operation, and I usually run about 100 chickens in what we call chicken tractors. That's pretty much what I do when I'm not at school.
Wow. You're running those 100 chickens, and then are you selling all those chickens to customers after you've raised them up to finishing weight?
Yes, I am. I market them at local farmers markets, and then also I have my own Facebook page, so market them on Facebook, and I just try to get them sold. And then I also, recently, I went into 2 grocery stores, and now the grocery stores are carrying my chicken.
Very cool. That is impressive. So, now how did you find your way into selling them at 2 separate grocery stores?
So, basically, I just jumped in feet first, expecting I would be told no, and if I was told yes, then that was going to be a huge blessing. So, I walked into the store, and I said, who's in charge of the freezer department here? And then they told me his name, and I said, hi, my name's Anne Marie. I own my own GMO-free organic broiler operation, and I was wondering if you'd be willing to market my products. And he said, sure. He was like, praise the Lord that you just said yes.
Well, you learned a valuable lesson right then and there, is that the worst thing that can happen is they say no, but they might say yes.
Exactly right.
Very cool. So have you always been an entrepreneur? I mean, what lit this fire for you?
I've always been a social butterfly and the selling person in my family. I love getting to talk to the community, and I enjoy meeting people. What lit this fire for me? I don't know. I was kind of self-driven because I wanted to be able to get out, and I wanted to be able to sell customers stuff that were I know was raised right, and I know was raised ethical, and try to give them something better than what they may receive in the store.
Interesting. So where did the idea to raise the chickens, I'm assuming on pasture with the chicken tractors, where did this come from?
The chicken tractors. So last year was my first year I ever tried this out. And we were trying to figure out a cheaper way to raise them that mm-hmm. would still get them the correct nutrients they would want. And we talked to the guy at the processor, and he told us about these. So then I looked them up online, and I spent basically all school year trying to figure out what design would be right for me and right for the amount of chickens that I needed uh-huh. to fit into one, and just how would be the best way to go about building one so it best suits me and my product.
Did you build or manufacture the chicken tractors yourself?
That would have to be a no. My brother, I do not like carpentry. I don't understand. That stuff's very boring to me.
Okay.
I did have my brother do it for me, though. He loves that kind of stuff, and he loves building it. I just sat there and bossed around. That's pretty good to be a bossy.
Okay, so you decided that you were going to be the supervisor on that project, the project manager.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. And so how's the response been from the people who have consumed your chicken?
So every time I see a customer, they always have a huge smile on their face. I actually had never bought store chickens, but apparently on store chickens, there's sometimes like leftover feathers. And the most recent comment I got on my chicken was it was the cleanest chicken they have ever eaten. And also, I normally get told that they are extremely tender, and my customers just love them. And most of my customers are repeat customers.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned that you're marketing on a Facebook page. What's the name of that Facebook page? I'd like to look it up and link to it.
My Facebook page is called Stony Creek Country Fresh Chicken.
That's great. I love the fact that you're marketing with that.
Thank you. I enjoy using the social media part. It allows me to reach people that may not be reached otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is great. I'm excited for you on that business part, Anna Marie. Now, let's talk about your Charley operation. I just kind of glanced right over that, but you said you have your own purebred Charley operation. What do you want to see this develop into?
Well, this may sound kind of silly, but so each of my cows' names are State.
Okay.
So my goal is so I will have one cow per every state. So that's my goal currently. And I have my own little rule that if I have a cow and it's already named a state, then it can't be named another state because that means I'll get to buy more. So I have Alabama.
Yeah.
And she had Montgomery. So Montgomery wasn't allowed to be named a state name because I need to buy more. And that is a good way to convince my dad to let me buy more.
And so the offspring, they're going to be named after cities or counties or something like that within their state.
Yep.
Well, that is creative marketing. There is no question about that, Anna Marie. I would have never thought of that. And I think I'm a good marketer. You're awesome. So tell me where you want the business to go. Do you want to be selling registered seed stock at some point? Is it going to always be a show animal type business? Or where do you want to see it go?
I would love to be able to sell to other kids in my county. I don't know. So mine aren't really like super, super showy, but I do pretty good at my county fairs. So I just want to sell to other kids in my county or surrounding counties that they can take a good heifer or steer to their county fair and do well with it.
That's awesome. Well, good for you. You know, that's really exciting that you've got all that going. So I know you're just getting ready to go into your sophomore year, but you're obviously a marketer. You're coming up with a great branding strategy on your cattle, with your chickens. You've done phenomenal stuff already. Do you want to stay an entrepreneur? Do you want to stay a producer of livestock and in non-GMO, like organically raised type meats? Is that something you want to continue to do, or what do you think you want to do as you go forward?
So I'm definitely going to keep my chickens GMO free. There's a bigger market for those around me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my cattle, on the other hand, I think if you feed them non-GMO stuff, I think they marble better and they just taste better. But my chicken business is definitely going to stay GMO-free, and then that's probably the only thing that's going to stay GMO-free or organic.
Interesting. So what you found then is if you if you're able to source feeds and do everything without GMOs, you're able to market, maybe sell for a higher price, or there might be more demand for this kind of niche product that you've developed?
Yeah, so Columbia is a very, so Columbia, Missouri, it's about 30 minutes away from us.
Uh-huh.
They have a very diversified population, I would call it, and people there, there's definitely a market in Columbia. Also, there's Mexico is about 15 minutes away, and there's market there for there too. They just like knowing that what I'm selling them is healthier than what they're getting in the store.
Interesting. Okay. Well, good for you on identifying that niche market and then finding a way to serve it. I think that's it's a great way to go. It definitely gives you the best chance, I think, on a small scale of coming up with a viable option for farming going forward. Well, Anna Marie, I got to ask you, for another student out there who's got a business idea and they've got to walk into that grocery store and they've got to ask for who's in charge of the freezer department and they've got to overcome that resistance or that fear of going in and doing that, what advice would you have for them?
I would say dress nice, because when you dress nice, I think you're a little bit more comfortable in your skin and you look more presentable, person that you're wanting to be talking to. Don't be shy. Before you go in, practice what you're going to say to them, because you don't want to go in and not know what you're saying, because that would be a little bit embarrassing. But just go in feet first, because like you said, the worst thing they can tell you is no. And you know what? That's okay, because the grocery store down the road may think that that's the coolest idea that they've ever heard.
Awesome. Great advice, Anna Marie. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing all this with us.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, thanks, Matt, as always, for that story. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll visit with a family steeped in FFA tradition who are doing what they can to pass it along. That's coming up on FFA Today. Well, thanks for tuning in. And now we head to Arkansas. That's where the Arkansas Farm Bureau takes us into the home of the Hoyle family in Columbia County to hear how the FFA lifestyle is one they've embraced for its discipline and strong work ethic, but also the personal sacrifice required to shape the kids into successful adults.
I'm Christy Hoyle. I'm from Taylor, Arkansas. And my husband Scott and I both grew up involved in FFA and showing livestock and raising livestock. So when we got married and had children, at that time I was teaching high school ag, and it was very important to us that our kids had those same opportunities to participate in these type of programs that we had growing up. And fortunately for us, they have both really enjoyed it, and we just feel very blessed that we've been able to spend so much family time with them together as they've been growing up, traveling to livestock shows and picking out their animals for the new year and taking them to different events that they wanted to go to. And it's just been a great way to raise our kids.
I've been showing livestock since the time I could walk, but more specifically since I was 2 years old, when my mom's FFA students from her ag classroom would help me drag my pygmy goat into the show ring when she probably wanted to be anywhere else. And I think that's really taught me a lot about who I am and how I like to do things, because it's taught me that working hard is never going to go unrewarded. Even if maybe in the end you don't win the buckle or you don't win the banner, you're still there and you've still had all of those experiences with all of those people.
By the time I was born, Riley already kind of started showing, so the entire family was into it. There were already animals in the barn. I was just kind of born into this life, but I love it to death. I definitely chose to do this. I've chose throughout all of my life to make sacrifices and do this instead of other things I could have gone into doing. It's one of my favorite things to do, definitely. But doing this has probably been the best decision I've ever made. All of my closest friends I've made through the FFA and through showing. I've had friends I've known since I was 4 years old from growing up showing and doing goats and sheep. And I didn't know people in probably half the states in the U.S. And that's more than I think almost any high school kids can say nowadays.
I mean, there is nothing I love more than going to a livestock show. And I mean, I want to be able to do that for the rest of my life. So I want to go into agricultural communications and be able to have a say about how people view livestock shows and the agricultural industry as a whole. Because going all these places, you do hear a lot of those negative perceptions from people that don't understand things. Or when we're sitting at the state fair and some little kid runs up to my animal, my goat or my lamb, and goes, "Oh, look at the puppy." You know, that's something that I've really been able to see firsthand and that I really want to be able to change in the future. So I feel like learning who I am and where I want to go and what I want to do is something that this industry's taught me.
We're very proud of both of our kids. They have just worked so hard and put in so many hours. But on top of that, I think we're just really, really proud of the way they have been able to be good winners and good losers, because you don't always come out with the buckle or the banner, and nothing makes me happier than seeing them run over there and hug their friends when they win and shake those other kids' hands and just be genuinely happy for other kids when they're able to win and come out on top. And I think that's one of the best things that we've seen through this program, and we're really proud of the people that they're growing up to be. She at this point is excited to go off to college, and she wants to start a career in agricultural communications, and who knows where she'll end up. But I laughed last year at the state fair listening to Jack and some of his friends from several schools all over Arkansas, and they were talking about how neat it was going to be when they grow up and they all come back to watch their kids.
Well, you can certainly hear how important the organization is to her and her family. Well, thanks again to the Arkansas Farm Bureau for that story. And finally today, you're probably familiar, of course, with Creed speaking, but what about Creed rapping? Two students from the Camden County High School, FFA in Georgia, put a modern spin on a classic Creed.
FFA Creed. I believe in the future of agriculture, with a faith born not of words but of deeds. Achievements won by the present and past, generations of agriculturalists, and the promise of better days to better ways, even as the better things we now enjoy have come to us from the struggles of former years. I believe that to live and work on a good farm or to be engaged in other agricultural pursuits is pleasant as well as challenging, for I know the joys and discomforts of agricultural life and hold an inborn fondness for those associations which even in hours of discouragement I can't deny. I believe in leadership from ourselves and respect from others. I believe in my own ability to work efficiently and clearly with such knowledge and skill I can share, and in the ability of progressive agriculturalists to serve our own and the public interest in producing and marketing the product of our toil. I believe in less dependence on begging and more power in bargaining, in a life abundant and enough honest wealth to help make it so for others as well as myself, in less need for charity and more of it when needed, in being happy myself and playing square with those whose happiness depends upon me. I believe that American agriculture can and will hold true to my best traditions of our national life, and I can exert an influence in my home and community.
Which will stand on for my part that inspiring task.
Well, sounds like they're having a lot of fun putting a new twist on things down in the Peach State. Well, that'll do it for this week's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share or something you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email. You can send it to FFAtoday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR-147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Adkison with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.